Hello and welcome to a very special program on NDTV 24/7. 25 years ago, this area may have had a beautiful river behind it, but all around there was shelling taking place. The Indian Army was hitting Pakistani intruders in the ridgeline a little distance away from us very, very hard, and Indian soldiers were scaling up those heights. And the man who led India to victory back then is back here now. He's 25 years younger. General VP Malik, the former Army Chief, thanks very much for being with us. He's also one of my favorite Army officers. It has to be said, somebody who's engaged with me professionally for a very long time. And we're also joined by a very special second guest, his son, Major General Sachin Malik. Not only is Sachin, General Sachin Malik, the commander of the 8th Mountain Division, the commanding officer, both General VP Malik and General Sachin Malik have both commanded the same division. So it is very much a special occasion. General Malik, let me come to you first. I know you've been coming back here every couple of years, but this is special. What does this year mean to you?
Well, firstly,
I got it. I'm holding it.
Firstly, you know, this is the 25th anniversary, which is a special occasion. And I always come here primarily to pay homage to all the officers, men who got killed in action during that period, and also to remember all the good work that our army did. And this year it has become also special because Sachin is here and he is commanding the same division that I did at the same place where we fought the war.
It's a strange coincidence, but a wonderful one, isn't it?
And
to have both of you together, it is of course a huge responsibility for you because these areas are right on the LC, and therefore your primary responsibility as ever is to maintain that LC.
So, of course, it is a huge privilege to command 8th Mountain Division. My division is known as the Forever in Operations Division. We've always been in operations right from raising. And while we are commemorating the Rajat Jayanti of the Kargil War, you have to remember that the bulk of my division remains operationally committed and deployed on the line of control to ensure that nothing of that sort ever happens again.
Yeah. And General, when you pass by these areas, we are in Dras presently. This was a war front for a very long stretch from Matayan, Gumri, Pandras, Dras, all the way past Batalik, etc., etc. What does it feel like to know that this is where the Indian Army fought and won a war?
So, the first thing that comes to mind is the huge responsibility. These peaks, a lot of blood has been shed on them, and there is no way we will ever allow anybody to do that ever again. So we have to always remain absolutely alert. We have to remain ready for anything. And we have to ensure that nothing ever happens of that nature again.
And I must ask you, because it's your duties which is going to take you away from us from this interview. General VP Malik always wanted to be a soldier, I'm told. He's told me that in the past. Is that why you wanted to join the army, to follow in your dad's footsteps? Or is it something, a larger cause, which you always felt in with or without your dad?
I grew up in the army. I grew up with soldiers all around me. And I think it was a natural thing to do, to go into the academy and then join the army.
Right. Before we talk about the Kargil War itself, just to have the two of you, just to have Sachin with you over here, General Sachin Malik, what does it feel like for you as a father?
Well, I feel very proud that he is commanding the same division. I think there have been only about probably three instances where the son has taken over the division that the father had commanded. So that's a rare occasion. And also I feel proud that he is commanding a division in, which is a very sensitive area. And he's looking after the LC, a large distance of LC. The responsibility that he has today is tremendous, I must say, you know. And same place where we fought the war, that adds to the, I would say, the responsibility as well as some joy also.
Yeah. General Malik, before you leave, the Prime Minister is going to be over here. It is a huge occasion. What does it mean for the soldiers under your command in this area that the Prime Minister is coming to pay homage to all the soldiers who were killed in action?
So this is an interesting thing. We've always stressed on all the soldiers knowing the history of the posts where they're deployed. It gives them a sense of ownership. It gives them a huge sense of pride. The fact that the Prime Minister of the country is going to be coming in, that adds to the, I would say, the pride in the soldiers about the task that they're doing and the historic location where we are deployed in.
And General, one final question. What has changed in the last 25 years? This was an area where there was so much shelling, I remember, so much fighting. There have been a series of incremental steps. How are you better prepared to defend this frontier?
Well, a lot has changed. So the most important thing is that our deployment is much thicker on the ground now. What happened in 99 is really not going to happen again. Apart from that, our capabilities over the years have obviously increased in terms of every possible domain. So whether it is night fighting, whether it is in terms of firepower, whether in terms of surveillance, all these assets have increased, and of course the qualities are much better now.
Yeah. General VP Malik, 25 years back, when did you realize that this wasn't an incursion, that there was something larger which was happening?
You know, till the time I came back from my official foreign trip, everybody kept telling me that these are jihadis and very soon we'll be able to clear them wherever.
And you were in Poland, right?
I had gone to Poland and Czech Republic. So when I came back and I saw what was happening, I got my briefing at the command headquarters, div headquarters, core headquarters, etc. I felt that they are not behaving like jihadis, because jihadis generally shoot and scoot. You know, they don't hold the ground. So my first remark was, why are they not holding there? Why are they not moving out? They are holding the ground. And somehow all the intelligence agencies also kept telling, no, they are jihadis. And some of them had come in black salwar kameez. You know, the jihadis wear that. But the way these people were conducting themselves, I said no. In fact, one of my first orders to 15 Corps was, I don't mind buying a few casualties, but I want to know who they are. And that can only be done if you shoot some people down.
Yeah. General, the big question that you've been asked time and time again, and you've written about this, is, was there an intelligence failure? You just mentioned that there wasn't real intelligence to suggest that something as large as this would happen. Ultimately, as you look back, who was accountable for that?
It's difficult, but there was intelligence failure, okay? Because all the information that was being fed to us by various intelligence agencies, including the Joint Intelligence Committee, was that there was no chance of Pakistan and India going to war, because Pakistan is not prepared for such a thing. There were no signs of preparation from the other side at all. Nobody gave us that. There were a few comments from the IB, I think. They said that jihadis are there. But finally, as you know, and everybody knows now, even the Pakistanis know, there were no jihadis in this area. And the main thing was that, you know, shifting from countering the jihadis to countering the Pakistan army, we had to change the rules of engagement. With when you are fighting the jihadis, there are certain rules of engagement, and you have one arm tied behind you over back. So it was round about 21st or 22nd, I said, no, we will have to change the rules of engagement and utilize all the weapon system that we have got. And I also persuaded both the Air Force and the Navy, my colleagues, that we have to fight together on a military strategy. And that was presented to the CCS, I think, on the 23rd or 24th. Of May, and fortunately everybody agreed that whatever we were saying, we should. And thereafter it was a military strategy as framed by all three of us.
Parvez Musharraf, he'd actually crossed the line of control and was deployed in this area for a period of time. Details of that have emerged. Did you get more details of that? And I mentioned Parvez Musharraf because something that happened at that stage I remember very clearly is an intelligence leak, in a sense, of what he was up to when he was talking about the war taking place here. And we revealed that.
I don't think there was any statement made by Pervez Musharraf. But I know for the fact that they had started sending their patrols across the line of control on our side. And subsequently, when we captured a particular place and we killed some of their army people, we found a diary. And that diary indicated that one day, Pervez Musharraf had come in a helicopter and spent some time. That is the only instance that we know where Pervez Musharraf himself crossed the line of control.
General, what about the leadership over here at so many levels? Young officers, middling level officers and senior officers. Were they all up to the mark in taking on the threat? Or do you believe, looking back, and there have been so many reviews, that leadership at some levels was found wanting?
Look, at the level of in the field, I would say initially there were some problems at the level of brigade. But then we have to remember that it was only one brigade looking after the entire area. And there were very large gaps between the posts that we had. And all these things started in the winter, toward the end of winter. So there were some problems there. And we had to take action against some of them. But subsequently, when the war started, around about in the 24th, when Op Vijay started, thereafter I have to admire everyone. In fact, every soldier, every young officer, every commanding officer, every brigade commander, and of course the GOC, 8 Mountain Dave himself, I think they did a tremendous job. And I can say that even for my own self, to boost my own morale, I used to come here rather than be in Delhi.
Yeah. And then, of course, the airstrikes begun. That had quite an impact. We are actually quite close to Tiger Hill. When the airstrikes started happening, did you feel that there was a shift in momentum and the ability of our soldiers to get to those heights with lower casualties was perhaps ensured to a larger extent?
Look, primarily we used Air Force strategically. Okay. That was the main purpose, so that they know that we are using Air Force. And if required, both the Army as well as the Air Force will be able to cross the line of control, if permitted, of course, by the CCS. But there are a few places where they were very helpful, tactically also, or operationally also. And both these places, Monto Dhalo, as well as Tiger Hill, they were very effective there. And you must think what happens. It has to be felt when an Air Force plane, fighter plane, goes over you. I mean, it is a threat itself. So the Air Force contribution there was quite a lot, both operationally as well as strategically.
The young officers, you know, the bread and butter of the Indian Army, and of course the young Jawan, perhaps even more. Every day you would sit back in your office and you would get the casualty reports. I mean, that's part of the job. But it must have been exceptionally difficult for you to know that letters were being sent out, that phone calls were being sent out, and we were losing men. But this was a war.
You know, it's always tragic for any leader when he loses his colleagues. And in the army also it is the same way. And early morning, every briefing that I got, initially I was told last night what happened. Last 24 hours, how many people got killed. And one had to keep a straight face, but the fact is that you felt it in your heart. And one occasion when we captured three pimples, we lost three officers and almost about 15-20 Jawans. That was a very bad day for me. One always felt losing Jawans, but you know, there are some occasions when you just want to go stand in one corner and think about it. And the Three Pimple incident was one of those.
The acts of bravery of all of them, Vikram, Anuj, Vijayant, Saurabh Kalia, Major Acharya, just to name a few, and Captain Kenguruse, and so many Jawans over there, some of whom have won the Paramveer Chakra. It was unbelievable because it was unprecedented. Nobody, you know, could go up these heights and engage in an infantryman's battle. It had been done for the first time by the Indian Army 25 years back.
You know, when Vikram Batra captured 5140, which is at the end of the feature, starting with Tololing, and I met him. I mean, it was amazing. This boy had achieved so much, and yet there was a smile all over his face.
Ye dil mange more.
Ye dil mange more. You know, and I was absolutely taken by surprise. I mean, that kind of willpower and that kind of commitment, everything that he showed. And I also remember bringing a scotch bottle, giving it to him and his colleagues. I said, don't give it to your brigade commander. This is meant for you people. So similarly, the other people, other boys also, Kangaroozay, you mentioned, he died in this thing. Major Acharya, you can't imagine. The kind of dedication these officers showed is amazing. It's exemplary. It will remain an example for the whole history.
General, there was a Kargil committee report.
Yes.
Lots of things got done. Many things didn't get done. Are you satisfied by the outcome of that report?
One is not very happy, firstly, because it took 20 years for the government to take action on the CDS front. See, the primary purpose of the Kargil Review Committee was to ensure that we fight together, unitedly. There is a unified command, and then we have a much greater jointmanship than it was seen. And then we also have full support from all other agencies who are fighting the war, including the civil agencies, etc. It took a long time. Now that we have got CDS, as you know, we are fighting over theater commands and all. It's going to take its own time. The other problem I still feel is that, you know, the kind of synergy that one expects between the civil agencies and the military agencies, that hasn't come about. You know, we may have done something in substance, but in spirit, that is still lacking. And the third thing which I feel bad is that we still haven't got the armed forces into the decision-making loop. You know, till today, the tendency is that only when there is a crisis on, you call for the armed forces. But this should not happen. When something is building up, you must take into confidence the armed forces. Even otherwise also, because we have to do our defense planning. Now, defense planning, if you are doing for 15 years, 20 years, 25 years, etc. So we should know as to how the politicians are looking at, how the MEA is looking at the happenings, geopolitical happenings around it. So I feel that the role of the army, armed forces, I would say, that still needs to be looked into, and we should stop this working in silos.
Well, General, it's been wonderful speaking to you as always. It's wonderful to see you back in Dras, and I wouldn't have missed this for the world to be back over here. 25 years ago, we were a bunch of youngsters. I was 24 years old. You were 23, 24, 25, running around. All of your soldiers had guns and helmets, and a few of them had flag jackets. We had nothing but the red mic at that stage. I must ask you, the information war, the India's first televised war, NDTV was right there, it changed us so much in terms of how the public understood what was happening.
You know, initially we were a little apprehensive because people would go all over the place. After all, this is a highway. This was the first televised war. And both, I would say, I give credit to both, media as well as the armed forces. We learned our lesson. And at the end of it, we realized that the media was helpful to us.
Of course, a multiplier in a sense.
Absolutely. It was had a multiplier effect.
Thank you very much, sir, for being with us. There you have it, General VP Malik. We spoke to General Sachin Malik, his son, a little while earlier. It's a wonderful occasion in a sense, but poignant at so many other levels. Father and son over here in Kargil. We are in Dras. This is where Indian soldiers fought. This is where we regained every square inch of territory that had been taken away from us. It's now fully fortified. It's 25 years of a war that a new generation has heard about, but young or increasingly old people like me who lived through it and saw with our own eyes, it's something that we'll never forget.